Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of the Short Commute Podcast. You have been welcomed into Zach's office here with Pastor Drew and Zach, and we'll invite you to listen along for hopefully less than 10 minutes. We'll do our best. Hope you find this informative. Hope you find this enjoyable. This morning we're going to be talking about Pastor Drew's sermon from last week. We were in Luke chapter 7, talking about John.
Well, it was an interesting passage because for many of us, John the Baptist is one of those just amazing figures in the Bible. We think of him as strong, and we think of him as confrontational, think of him as fearless and courageous. But this is a situation where he is sitting in prison, and he's hearing about some of these things that Jesus is doing, miraculous healings and so on, and yet he's having a bit of a moment of doubt, a moment of weakness, because the huge things that he was expecting from the Messiah, the coming King, just don't seem to be happening. It's not like the Roman Empire has been challenged, and it's not like society as a whole has changed all that much. Sure, Jesus is doing amazing things in people's lives, but John just seems not to be satisfied and is having a moment of doubt, and we can understand that because he's sitting in a prison cell after dedicating his entire ministry to heralding this coming King. And so, he sends some of his followers to Jesus to ask the question, "Are you the one?" And so that's where we jumped off on Sunday.
I appreciated maybe the part that stuck with me the most was you had that section, and it's a message moment, so I'll link it in the description, but you talked about the difference between John, who Jesus calls one of, if not the greatest man who's ever walked on earth, the difference between how John deals with doubt versus how we often deal with doubt, which was a really cool moment when you talked about. So John has these doubts, and what's his first instinct? Is to go to the feet of Jesus and say, explain. Mm-hmm. Give Jesus a chance to explain himself. And you had some point too, if you can help me, about how not only is that an appropriate response for John, but it kind of helps the other believers too by not tearing them down.
Yeah, think about it. If John hadn't gone to Jesus with those doubts, mm-hmm. and just obviously Jesus is the only one that can answer those doubts in any satisfactory way. But look at the other options. He could have gone to his own followers and voiced his doubts to them, which would have shaken their faith. He could have gone to Jesus' followers and voiced his doubts to them, and that would have shaken their faith. He goes right to the source with it, which I think that we have to respect and try and pattern our own lives after.
Yeah, that was interesting, because often we sit with doubt and we share it with peers, mm-hmm. but we never cast our burden on God, right, like we're instructed to. And that can be so harmful to ourselves, but also harmful to the people that we drag down in the process.
And I don't mean to say that it's not ever appropriate to speak to brothers and sisters in the faith about your doubts. But again, it should be taken to God first in prayer, and then we need to be a little bit discerning in terms of the people in our life that have a good handle on their faith, and we should be discerning about who we would take our doubts to in such a way that's going to be constructive for both us and them.
It's kind of a posture thing. Like we talked about a little bit with the judgment passage that we did, maybe was that 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. in Luke 6 probably. So yes, we're called to hold each other accountable, so there's some judgment that's good for the fellowship of believers, but what posture are we taking when we do it? Is it I'm above you, looking down on you, casting some judgment because that's wrong? Or is it I'm sitting next to you, helping shoulder your load, right? And it's the same thing with doubt, I think, too. Is it, am I removing myself from the fellowship of believers and undermining what they're trying to do, or am I using it to edify myself and others,
sure.
in an appropriate way?
And that gets,
that's hard. I mean, there's no...
But these are themes in Scripture, too.
Right.
right? Scripture tells us how to conduct ourselves and how to do so in a spirit of love and encouragement toward one another, and in a spirit of humility, especially before God, but toward one another as well. And so you're right. You're absolutely right. We are talking about the posture that we try and foster in our lives.
Yeah. Allow me to challenge you for a second.
Yes, as long as we can edit it later.
Well, I hold John too high sometimes. I really love John's ministry. Is it realistic? And this is how I've often interpreted this passage, and it's different than what you did. And what you did, like I said, was wonderful, and it was biblical, and it was great, and I took something wonderful from it. But I've often interpreted this passage not as John doubting, but as John's last-ditch effort to push his disciples away to Jesus, right? Like we see him do in, it's John 3 or John 4. It's John 3. John 3, a passage that I really like. We find John the Baptist, I love that, says he had to go to this certain body of water because so many people were coming to be baptized. So he's like this, he's like, I've called him the first megachurch pastor. He needs this big building, this big body of water, because his followers are so much. And as soon as Jesus comes on the scene, people start following Jesus, and his disciples go, John, what are we supposed to do? Everybody's leaving you to follow Jesus. And John says, yeah, that's the point. Go ahead. He encourages his congregants, if you will, to leave him and follow Jesus. And I wonder, and I've often interpreted the passage this way, if this is not John doubting, but John saying, what are you guys still doing sitting by me in this jail cell? We're not accomplishing the kind of ministry that you could be accomplishing with Jesus. He's the one that you're supposed to be following. I prepared the way for him. Is that fair, or am I letting my high view of John color my reading of Scripture?
One thing that I completely agree with you on is that I am sure that once Jesus hits the scene, John the Baptist, as he had done even before Jesus hit the scene, was diverting attention from himself toward the coming Messiah. Mm-hmm. And once he saw Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, I think from that moment on, he was probably consistently and diligently sending his followers to Jesus. And so I agree with you there. I don't know that I take this passage as a last-ditch effort to get some last lingerers of his followers to go out and follow Jesus. It was actually quite common practice that when someone was in prison in the Roman Empire, that, you know, that person depended on a few close, trusted friends or family members to do errands and to some scholars think to provide food and just the bare necessities of life. So the fact that there are some people still hanging around John doesn't really surprise me. But I think that as far as John was concerned, he was constantly diverting people away from himself and toward Jesus. And so it's just hard to say in each circumstance what he's trying to accomplish.
Maybe what undermines my argument is the way he sends them isn't, and John's ministry has always been very straightforward. He doesn't pull any punches.
Right.
Right. And when we had the role of John the Baptist, which is another sermon in the series, we started off and said, the way John often starts his messages is, you guys are terrible. You're sinners. Yeah. I mean, right. He's very direct.
Brutal vipers.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very direct. And so you would imagine a guy like that, if his goal is to send his disciples to Jesus, would have just been direct about it and said, sure, what are you guys doing? Go follow Jesus, as he had done in John 3. So the fact that he sends them away with the question, are you the one, maybe undermines my argument a little bit and leads us to err on where you landed, which is, John was having some doubts, which is a wonderful message also, that even the greatest have doubts. It's just, how do you deal with them?
Yeah. Well, what you brought up did, there was something that I thought about in conjunction with that a little bit. I don't think we should assume that John the Baptist's ministry ended when Jesus hit the scene. So he continued to preach his message and to preach people toward Jesus Christ. And you don't often think about that because once Jesus hits the scene, the spotlight totally refocuses. But he continues to stand up there and he continues to make waves and he continues to gain, I guess you would call them followers, that he is now preaching to about Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm. And we certainly know that because it's after Jesus hits the scene that John goes and challenges Herod. Is it Herod?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
About being with his brother's wife. So, I mean, he's still doing ministry, calling people to repentance.
Yeah.
And we know that from Scripture, too, so that's great. Well, if you clicked on this link and saw how long it was when I said at the beginning that we were going to be strict about 10 minutes, you probably laughed. So we'll sign off here. We'll be back next week, Friday, with more content. Hope to see you then.